Dear beloveds, since I met you last year, my meditation has become more and more blissful. I thank you very much for this. In this retreat, when the bliss becomes strong, energy goes up to the third eye, and bliss is taken over by silent meditation and white light. I like being blissful very much. But do I have to let it go in order to progress further in meditation? In everyday meditation at home, how much percentage should I give to blissful meditation and how much to silent meditation? Yours in deep gratitude, Pema Devi. You say, since you met me, your meditation has become more and more blissful. For me, meditation should be blissful. Then it's easy to go in, it's both. But you must have had some idea or some experience from before that meditation was more dry. Then you came to my juicy territory and something happened. And that's how it is. It has been for thousands of years more discipline. And this you have still in you. But because you fell into this honeypot, your meditation became more and more blissful. And you say, in this retreat, when bliss becomes very strong, energy goes up to the third eye and bliss takes over by silent meditation. I like being blissful very much, but do I have to let it go in order to progress further in meditation? What did you do to get the bliss? Did you do anything to get the bliss?
Nothing.
Then? You didn't do anything.
Just your grace.
It just happened. It just happened. Huh? Then how can you do anything to let it go then? You didn't do anything for let it come. Then why should you get interfere to let it go? Huh? You see, the mind is very tricky. It's trying to hold on to something old. People are longing for bliss. The whole religion for some people is bliss. The other side is silent meditation. That is the Buddhist approach, or Mahavira, or you have the Sufis, the Bhakta, the celebration. This is the two ways. But I'm both. Don't choose. I'm bliss and silence. Love and celebration, silence and dance. This is what, no, you are just 1 year, Pema Devi, you're just a baby, just relax. Just eat the food, and you don't ask, how do I let go? You didn't do anything, it just happens. This is the thing, when you come to a master, you have to let go of everything that you have learned before. It will just be in the way. It's not that you have something new, it's just to fall in tune with what is happening around the Buddha. I like being blissful very much, but do I have to let it go in order to progress further in meditation? When you are in bliss, do you think about that then?
Well, it's just my mind.
Yes! Yes!
Because of what I studied with
Buddhism. Yes! 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 I know! Yes! Yes! I know, I am, yeah. Yeah. All that has to go. No? All that has to go. Then you can relax, Prema Devi. That is my imitation. No, all that all go. No bliss has come. You don't do anything. You didn't do anything for it to come. It just happens. Hmm? Because you are in tune. You want to get closer. And you have been very total in arranging your life. So that is good. But still you have been very busy with the outside things. I want you to now start getting more involved. Yeah, when everything is settled on the outside. Get more involved. Then all this will go, all your Buddhist practice will go. All the Buddhas has to go if you're going to be the Buddha. That's the thing. In everyday meditation at home, how much percentage should I give to blissful meditation? And how much to silent meditation? 50-50. How does that sound? Don't choose. You can't choose. And even if you tried to do the silent meditation for your whole year, for your whole life, and with all the study, then suddenly you become blissful. You just be silly, happy, blissful. That whole practice, when that is what is real. You can't have any opinions, any ideas. You have to be available for what is happening now. And you don't know what is happening now. No, this is your own experience now. But many times, maybe the bliss comes easier when you are in my garden. But that has always been a meditation. That has always been a beautiful meditation. So if that is happening, what could be more easy than just look at the beloved's picture and you go into bliss, no? So let those two, just let it go, as you don't hold on to bliss, you don't hold on to silence. The bliss goes, silence comes. Silence go, bliss comes. That's how it goes. When you go in, let it be silent. When you go out, let it be happy. This is... You just have to be natural. And to be natural, everything, whatever you have learned or studied or think, it has to go. That is happening. And that is, let it happen more and more, Pavandevi. You're doing good. So now you have arranged your life. Now get more and more in tune with what is happening here. I have seen also you started dancing. You didn't do that first. You're enjoying so much. You can't help it. You just forget yourself. Yeah, you go on with that more and more. Yeah, we have both here. But this has been a very deep conditioning as such in the East, because the East is more introvert. That's why meditation, self-inquiry, all these techniques, vipassana, in the West it's been more extrovert. So they have made beautiful things outside, but not beautiful thing inside. You have to go beyond East and West. Then one side you can't have balance, you have to have both. And when you start seeing that, it can be beautiful inside and beautiful outside. There was a very beautiful guy, an old brother of me, called Bodhidharma. Yeah.
In my
toilet. Yeah. That's a good place to keep Bodhidharma. Because if you can't make it, you just look at those eyes and you get so afraid you can even sit in your pants. That's what I call the master, you know. If you look at Bodhidharma, how can you not be afraid? He looked like he will kill you any moment. That's the right place, keeping in the toilet. And he will scare the shit out of you. Bodhidharma, he brought Buddha's teaching to China. A very beautiful man. He must have been very wild, very strong. 1500 years ago, you can imagine going from India to China. No easy way there. Then India was very much in. Totally in. And they forget outside. And that was the religion. They escape. Everything outside is Maya, is illusion, is samsara. The whole thing is inside. Life is a dream. Then he came to China. In China, they already had the Taoist. They were more in balance. And many beautiful things happened when he came to China. And there also they had just been sitting. Then he ended up in some small temples, but he saw that all these people, all the disciples, the meditators, they were falling asleep, like you do when you sit. It takes time to practice awareness. Then he started having a very good idea, because all masters are unique. So his experience was to survive in the wilderness, in the Himalayas. All this traveling, he must have gone for years. So then he started teaching them some exercises that he had been doing on the way. From studying the animals. He was all the time in nature. Already now, still it's wilder. You can imagine how it was for 1500 years ago. And that was the beginning of the Shaolin Temple, which is still very, very famous. For the first time, he started giving them exercises so they shouldn't fall asleep. Then it became very famous because they had many wars then. It was changing all the time, different warlords. And then he got these monks to fight. And they became very famous because they were very alert. So then the whole martial arts came up to a totally different level, because it wasn't just physical, they had awareness, they had chi in there, ki. And still they are famous, the Shaolin monks. And from China, it went to Japan. In India, it's called Dhyan, no? Meditation. It means getting absorbed in yourself. Absorbed in yourself, in your inner being. You forget everything. You are just absorbed in yourself. Then in China, it became Chan. Then Japan, Zen. But again, it changed when it came to Japan. Because Japan was very advanced in many arts, like building temples, gardening, beautiful clothes, music, paintings. They incorporated it in the different arts. That's what becomes Zen. And nowhere else had they had that. In India they didn't have that. That it could be flower arrangement, tea ceremonies, painting, even swordsmanship, martial arts, building, dancing. They brought all this with the meditation, with the Buddha's teaching, into the outer. In India, it was just an inner. They didn't bring the beauty that they had experienced inside out. So in Japan, it really flowered. Much more beautiful. Now in Japan, there's not much alive Zen left. People go to Japan to try to study Zen. It's dry, like a dry branch. You need juice, and you only get the juice if it's alive, if it's a live master. Then it becomes not any tradition, it becomes alive. You have to fall in tune with the master to understand Zen. You can't study that in books. It's ridiculous. It's like you can't smell a plastic flower, or can you? It looks real, but it has no good smell. A plastic flower, no matter how beautiful they make it. And in Japan they make very beautiful plastic. Even the whole sushi situation, you can eat it and then you realize it's plastic. It doesn't digest good. You have to have a real flower. And that's how it is. A live tradition, a live religion has to have an alive master. Then it becomes juicy. Then you can smell it. What happens when you smell it? You become blissful. Yeah. Then you become blissful. If people only smell plastic flowers and they come to real rose flower, they get intoxicated. If they have a nose, that is. If they have a heart. So this is very beautiful because I'm both. And that is really the teaching of the Buddha. It's no separation. They have made it into that. Everything has become a tradition. Everything has become just ceremonies. So just go crazy, Pramodiv. It's okay. You're in good hands. There's nobody understands on the outside what is happening here because it doesn't fit into anything. But life doesn't fit into anything, it's too big. And I don't want you just to be one way, I want you to be multidimensional. So you experience all the dimensions of your being. Silence is one part, bliss is another part. And that is the real dance between silence and bliss. Thank you. In China, in Japan, it became many wild masters. If the Buddhist master in India had seen them, they would have freaked out. There are stories that the master is burning the Buddha. And he said, but it's cold. It's a cold night. Should I freeze or should I burn this Buddha? He lives in the moment. A Buddhist in India, he wouldn't have do that. He would still think he burned 10 lifetimes in hell. They couldn't believe that a disciple comes and asks about the Buddha, and the next thing he gets thrown out from the window. It doesn't make sense. And it definitely doesn't make sense to somebody who only knows about Jesus. You come and ask about God, and you get the good punch straight in your nose. But this you can read about or make a tradition about it. It's alive, it's in the moment. It only happens when the master is there. And only if you have an intimate relationship with the master, you will understand. If you are in tune. Otherwise, Jesus says, you turn your other cheek and here you get a broken nose. What are you going to make out of that? And they both enlightened people. Doesn't make sense. No, it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to blow your little mind. It's just to make you available for the moment, to free you of all the past, all your ideas, to wake you up, to shock you into the moment, whatever way it is. If that is with a kiss, or if it's with a song, or if it's with silence, or if it's with hitting you, that depends on who you are and what you need. first is a long way to come back to oneself. And then you have to become settled in yourself, in that purity, in that innocence, in that clarity. Then you have to bring it out. Then you can make the world more beautiful. And that is the whole approach of Zen. First you have to find it, and then you make it some more beautiful. You can bring it into any area of life. If it's cooking, if it's gardening, if it's building, anything. But it has to come from your inner vision. Then you can make things that people never seen before. And there have been many people like that. Still they go to the temples in Kyoto, in Taj Mahal. In Thailand. You can see it's coming from a meditative, creative person. You can't create something like that out of a confused mind. A skyscraper you can make easily, but not beauty. So Pema Devi, don't choose. Just become more and more loose and natural. And get more and more in tune with what is happening here. Beloved Master, I have written many letters to you during this retreat, but then somehow felt that I would meditate, receive and digest the things first, really take it into myself before sharing. During the process of rebirthing, I experienced that all my stories and body memories from past times were gone. It was only here and now left, breathing and expanding in the moment. In satsang came the insight, my work is done, I will serve you now. The day after, I went for dynamic and the three first phases were just like riding on a roller coaster of energy, but no emotion to grab onto. In the silent phase, one message came very loudly again and again out of a silent void. Only serve the Master. Only serve the Master. Only serve the Master. I kind of replied, and then myself. But the voice insisted, focus, focus, keep your hands up and use all your energy to serve the Master. So I did. On the way out, your picture said to me, it is not about how you serve the Master. I went to the river and let it sink in and contemplated it for a while. A lot of tears and gratitude came when I asked if taking care of my daughter has been serving the Master. And the answer was yes. During these days, she comes up again and again, and I understand that my immense unconditional love for her has healed me on many levels. She has been like a gift from God for me, from the moment she was in my belly, and it seems like my feelings for her are totally out of proportions. It is so for her father and grandparents too. Life or love has enabled me to give her what I never have received myself as a child. Through taking her in, seeing her, feeling her, loving her, and listening, caring and holding her, I have learned to do that with myself in a profound way. Her receiving and appreciating has opened me up for love and lightened my heart. Receiving and appreciating, huh? I can see that this comes so strongly up because she is 7 years old now and is also letting go, and is also a letting go process to serve the Master in other ways, to open up my heart to new experiences and people and to the wisdom of the heart in Brazil. You asked me how satsang had been for Leah, and I asked her on the way home in the car. She sat happy and proud with her new mala around her neck. She have gotten a mala now? Yeah? Very good. She couldn't wait, huh? And she was so happy and proud with her new mala around her neck. And she answered something like this, that she had found out that she had an inner boy in herself. That she could feel it in her right eye. And she liked to play football and play with other boys. But maybe it was because the boys didn't know about their inner girl that they didn't always like her. She would anyway like to know her inner boy more. Then she said she understood from satsang that beyond being a boy or a girl, everybody is just a being. And only when you know your inner being, you can be a true friend. Leah, she was really in satsang. Only only when you know your inner being, you can be a true friend. At home, she made friendship drops, which she would give to her friends, so they also could understand this. Friendship candy. The photo shows the label. Very good. And she was singing beautiful songs of love into the candies. She becomes more and more like my little sister, half child, half grown up, and a true friend. I'm sorry, this becomes really long. What to do? I love the Vipassana meditation. It brings me into oneness with you, with God, myself, and explosions of light. Now I understood that my Osho Sannyasin name was Vipassana, Vipassa. That name makes me remember grace and enormous trust. During Vipassana, I feel I can enter and observe many patterns through following the breath, and that makes me deeper. Often I gently enter into silent sitting satsang, where the breath seems too far away to watch, because of much light, silence, and bliss. Can I just let go of the technique when that happens? Yes. Let it go. And go with the light, with the silence, with the bliss. That's the thing. Don't hold on to the technique. The technique can only bring you there. When it happens, let go. And when you are there again, start with the technique. When the mind comes back, start with the technique. Be more and more used to just dropping into silence, into bliss, into light, into expansion, into peace, into love. Whatever you feel is close to you. And that's why you start liking Vipassana, or just simple techniques. Because no, you don't need so much action. And that's how it should be. First, you have to unburden your tensions, your mind, your emotions. But when you are relaxed, then get more and more in tune just to sit. And the consciousness itself will take you what is natural for you. If it's in bliss, if it's in silence, if it's in expansion, if it's in disappearing, if it's in melting, whatever, and it will change. After Vipassana some days ago, this enormous force came and pressed my skull open, and it was like a divine energy was pouring into me, as a Zen stick from the inside that cracked my head, and I was left like a baby. Yes. That's how it is. And the skull is just like an egg. And God has to crack it. The only thing is, sometimes it can be painful if you're not ripe. If you are ripe for the birth of the baby, then it's just a little crack. And there's the baby. Mama, she says. My coordination barely functioned and I was extremely hungry, but I almost couldn't make it to the lunch buffet. When I got there, I felt like a naked lost child. And I started crying when I saw the food, because I finally made it. Food helped me back to the body. It seems to me that the pattern of polarities becomes one in me, a supersensitive, silent, powerful and creative. I feel it more and more in dancing, in gardening, in vipassana, and everything. I don't go to the extremes anymore, but stay in harmony. Thank you, my master, you have taught me this. These two sides, one powerful, one super sensitive, they will just balance each other out. And after you have felt the power, more and more just sensitive. That is bound to happen. When you know you have it, but the power you cannot be in, you just relax in the sensitivity, in the silence, in the peace, in the harmony. That goes on forever. There's less and less to do, you are just dwelling in there. And out of this sensitivity, your life will be more and more harmonious, more and more quiet. Only the one heart can really serve the one heart. I would love to receive your guidance to serve you, the one heart of all. I am dedicated to serve you forever. I am yours finally, Sakina. The last days, some thoughts and feelings have come up, and I don't manage to let go of them. I wonder why I sometimes feel all paralyzed and uneasy when I see a beautiful girl, and why I put so much importance on the looks. I also wonder why I have so much bad conscience regarding sex. Thank you for everything. Although dynamic is a hell, but it probably helps me. Jon Martin. Very good, Jon Martin. That's what I say. In the Buddha field, we have everything. We have Buddhas and we have different other things. First, the last day, some thoughts, and I wonder why I get sometimes feel paralyzed and uneasy when I see beautiful girls, and why I put so much importance on the looks. Beautiful things are beautiful things. If it's a beautiful flower, beautiful man, beautiful woman, doesn't matter. Beauty is beauty. You like to look at beautiful things. You don't stare at ugly things, or do you? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Take it easy. They have to be sick if they start looking at ugly things. Now, I don't know anybody doing that. So that is fine, but don't stare, you know. That's not nice. Nobody likes that. Rubberneck. At least be a little discreet. It reminds me of the Zen master that Pema Devi went to, who's peeping in her bathroom when she goes to the bathroom. You know, be natural. My whole message, be natural. Huh? But I know it can be hard when people come new. It is beautiful people and you beautiful things come up, beautiful women. So everything that is new, it might be a little intense in the beginning, no? But get used to it, because I think you like it. I also wonder why I have so much bad conscience regarding sex. This is how it always been. It's been all the repressed societies and the religions and guilt and all these normal things that people wants to put on you, not to be natural, because they are not natural. So all the societies are repressed societies. And especially when it comes to sex. That's why they say in the old days, if you were a soldier or warrior, no sex before battle, because then you're not so violent. Be natural, but first, the problem is for you and for people now, and especially when they come, that's how it is in society. The whole thing with sex has become mental, and it shouldn't be mental. So first is to live natural. Also, when something is new, then you feel very attracted to it. Anything that is unknown, you feel attracted to it. You have to understand it. You have to live it. You have to feel it. Get some girlfriend. Start checking it out. Then soon, maybe you will escape to the Himalayas. It's nothing wrong with sex, it's just not natural anymore. And people are so focused on it because they haven't any connection with their deeper beings. So sex has just become a mental thing. First feel your body. Then feel your heart. Then feel your being. You have to start investigating yourself. Something you know, something you're friends with, doesn't give you bad conscience, and it doesn't give you fear. But this is always, I remember always in the ashram with Osho. Osho said many times, people come and they always say, oh, I have so many beautiful girls, or many peeping toms in the bushes. And then after a while, they had no interest. The women start running after even the guys. Everything, it starts happening like a natural celibacy because they become more natural. There's nothing wrong with sex. There's nothing wrong with eating food as long as it's natural. If you just stuff yourself with hamburgers, you're sick. If you're obsessed with sex, you're sick. It just becomes a mental thing. You have to feel. Feel what you eat, feel your body, get in tune with yourself, be natural. Then everything falls into its right place. You have to empty yourself out with this, and the only way, you say, some thoughts and feelings have come up and I don't manage to get let go of them. No, you can't just let go of them. You have to understand yourself. When you understand things, then they go by itself. But to be a slave of the instincts, be that sex or anger or fear or anything, that is hell. Because you are just a slave of your instinct. And to be a master, that is heaven. Because then you know. You know something deeper, no? If you know something deeper, and if you know the deepest of the deepest, then it's so fulfilling that only sometimes you come up to breathe. If you only know what is shallow, then you're very restless then. So that is, this stage is also with sex. Sex is just unconscious if you have no awareness. If you understand that, then it can become sex you can have no feelings in. I will read you an old sutra. Maybe you understand. Larry Sleazeball, the New York yuppie, goes into Fussy Pussy Pub in Greenwich Village. He finds a beautiful girl that he has dated before, sitting in a corner, sipping her pina colada. Larry the sleazeball sits down opposite her. Lulu, he asks very sympathetically, what is wrong there? Oh, everything, she sobs. My cat, Tiddles, has disappeared. I got fired from my job. I am being thrown out of my apartment. And on top of it, the doctors tell me I have terminal cancer. Oh, that's terrible, says Larry, in a very concerned voice. What about if I take you out on Saturday night and cheer you up, hoping for a hot date? Lulu shakes her head and sobs, but I have decided to kill myself on Saturday. Oh, says Laurie, what about Friday night? That's how it is when you only focus. You don't care about the feelings, you don't care about the human, you don't care about anything. You just care about that. So that is good, to go beyond that. There's nothing wrong with it, but it has to come from another place. A psychology professor is teaching a class and tells his students that he's going to conduct a sex survey. He says to the class, if you have sex once a day, raise your hand. About 5% of the students raise their hands. Okay, he continues. If you have sex 3 times a week, raise your hand. About 20% do so. Interesting, he says. If you have sex once a week, raise your hand. About 25% raising their hands. Then professor asks, if you have sex once a month, raise your hand. 20% goes the hand up. Then, as an afterthought, he says, if you have sex once a year, raise your hand. A little guy at the back of the class waves wildly, grinning from ear to ear. Why are you so happy? Asked the professor. The little guy jumps up and starts dancing, joy, singing, tonight is the night! be natural. That's the whole Taoist approach. Balance. Not too much, not too little. Too much of anything, you get sick. Too little, you go crazy, like that guy. So it's just to understand it, John Martin, then it's no problem. And also, when you are you are in a young body, then this energy is much more strong. But everything, you only have one energy in your body, and that same energy, it can change. And that's what meditation does. When you go deeper in yourself, the energy will follow you. So it depends where your focus is. It's not like you have many different energies. It just what depends what you do with your energy, in which channels it goes. So, my suggestion, just live. Get some girlfriends, have some fun, suffer, and move on. That's life. Then it doesn't become something. You have to be friends. But you know, don't keep it there because it's not satisfying. Have some depth in it. Explore. And find out. These things everybody has to find out by themselves. But then you also write, "Beloved Swaha, it's now very clear to me that all I want is peace and happiness." This is some days after now. Huh? No, you already want peace and happiness now. And to stay in this wonderful journey with you and to find out who I am. I want to be part of this family and ask you for sannyas. At your feet, John Martin. Oh my God! With me or my beautiful girls. Oh my God. It's crazy, John Martin. But before you become enlightened, I have to read you one more. Mrs. Prune, the headmistress of Beddingdown College, the all-girls boarding school, is giving her final speech of the year to the graduating class. "Remember, girls," says Mr. Wimple stiffly, "keep your body and mind healthy and clean. You have new responsibilities as you enter womanhood. Love is the base on which the family is built. So don't cast yourself away to loose and wanton sex. Only dangers will come from it, and its pleasures are only transient. Disease you also get. While you lose grace and respectability, you may only gain disease and pregnancy. And, and all for what? An hour's worth of pleasure?" Suddenly, a voice is heard from the back that shouts, "How do you make it last an hour?" Meditate on it. On the Lufthansa. on a Lufthansa flight from Frankfurt to New York. Mikey Moss is sitting next to a beautiful, beautiful young woman. "Hello," says Mikey, casually eyeing the pretty girls. "Are you German?" "Ja," says the German. "How nice," says Mikey, his eyes twitching slightly. May I ask your name?" "Ja, okay," she replies. "My name is Hilda Horniberg." "Well, hello, hello, Hilda," Mikey says, loosening up his tie. "Is this your first trip to New York?" "Ja, it is," replies Hilda. "I'm going on business." "Really?" inquires Mikey. "What kind of a business?" "Ja, ja, sure," says Hilda. "I'm going to the International Congress of Nymphomaniacs." "Really?" "Really?" says Mikey, beginning to perspire. Ooh, that's fascinating. "May I ask what you do in this congress?" "Ja," says Hilda. "We discuss very important issues like which man have the biggest one and which man can screw for the longest time. Things like that." "Really?" squeaks Mikey, taking off his coat. "May I ask who has the biggest ones?" "Ja, ja," says Hilda. "Those sweet Jewish men have those long ones." "Really?" says Mikey. "And may I ask which one can screw the longest time?" "Ja, ja," says her. Replies the beautiful girl, "It is the American Indians who give the longest screw." "Really? The American Indians?" "Really?" cries Mikey, mopping his face with a towel. "Ja, ja," says Hilda. "And by the way, you have not told me your name." Oh, my name," gasped Mikey, his eyes bulging out. My name is Diano Goldberg." Meditate on it. You didn't get it. Geronimo Goldberg. Where have you heard a name like that? Yeah, my name is Geronimo Goldberg. Can we be friends? Hayom. Yeah. Somali.
No, she got...
Could have been worse. Beloved Svaha, my dearest friend, can you say something about memory, or more specifically about the lack of memory? Every day I feel I remember less and less. This goes for all specters in life, from totally forgetting myself and my known ways of being to not at all remembering what I'm doing. Sometimes I just wander with no clue at all. Some mornings when I wake up, I have to really concentrate just to know what is. I feel completely wiped out, just blank. Lots of love in devotion, Bhavani. There is no problem. Before it was only memory. No, there is only now. Less memory. It's natural. Anyway, you are freeing yourself more and more. Your life is getting more and more just to be around me and being involved. And who needs memory then? It's much worse if you have to function out there in the society. Here, this is where you belong, Bhavani. I know your life has come to that. Just relax. There's no problem. It's only now that matters. These are only a few things that is important to remember anyway. Where do you put your car key and the shoes? That's about it. Beloved Master, I will share something that helps me, that helped me to transform negativity into positivity. I don't remember exactly where I got this story from, but most probably from one of Osho books I read in Russia many years ago. It is still vivid, and it is always reminds me how to pull me out of the darkness of the mind. The story is about a Sufi woman who was looking for some place to sleep in a village. She was a stranger in this village. People saw that she was a Sufi, a beggar, and refused to give her a bed to sleep. She knocked on every door, but no one would like to give her a place to sleep. It was a cold night, and the woman found a big tree outside of the village and prepared her to place to sleep there under a tree. But she couldn't sleep at all. She was shivering, frozen the whole night. It was also very misty. She suddenly opened her eyes and looked at the moon through the clouds. And she saw a drop of the morning dew on the leaf in front of her face. And she was amazed, so amazed. The drop was shining as the moon. The beauty touched her heart deeply, and she cried out, "Blessed be those people who refused me a bed. Otherwise, I would have missed all this beauty, this moon. Ah, I always remember this woman when I feel frozen, misunderstood, suspicion from other people. Thank you, Osho, for the alchemy of transformation. Thank you, beloved Master Swaha, for making me the ordinary woman. Now I know how easy it is to be easy. Everything is auspicious in my life. Thank you, beloved Master, for polishing me. Yes, sometimes it's painful, very painful. But who cares, as you say? Thank you for teaching me to see the beauty in the puddle of mud. Thank you for teaching me not to be so identified with my story, with my body, mind, emotions, my mind, to be more aware, not to be so involved. Thank you for making me strong in spirit. Always at your feet, beloved. Your love servant, Bauli. You never know. What life will give. Just be open, available, and it always takes care. How can you choose? Sometimes, if you stay in the bed, you will have missed the beautiful full moon. It is a time for everything. Beloveds, for all is perfect. We love you. Thank you for this. Your love will lead us on at your feet, Amrita and Chetan. May everyone follow the path of love, of silence, of beauty. Aum Shanti.